Thank you, Tom. Greetings, everyone. Good to be here. I think the last time we were here was actually the first day of Unleavened Bread. And we're heading up to Duluth right after this. It's good to be here and to see everyone. Let's get started. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the word of our Father, Proverbs 4, verse 7 through 9. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Also wanted to greet everyone on the webcast, any guests we have here amongst us. Greetings. Hope you feel comfortable in our midst. As you're turning to Proverbs 4, verse 7 through 9, I will read to you James 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. And I'm already getting off script here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. To follow up in Proverbs 4, verse 7 through 9, Proverbs 4, verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. This foundational scripture encapsulates the essence of Solomon's life and the message we draw from it. The pursuit of wisdom, the importance of insight, and the honor that comes from embracing these God-given gifts or these divine gifts. The life of Solomon, son of David and Bathsheba, stands as a remarkable testament of wisdom, dedication, and legacy that our deeply caring and loving Father desires for his children. Solomon is known for his unparalleled wisdom, immense wealth — that's an understatement. If you take the richest man that is known on record, Elon Musk, factor 10, you know, 250 billion versus up to 2.5 billion, that's what we're talking about here. And the monumental task of building the first temple in Jerusalem. His journey from young prince — hopefully his life will inspire our young ones equally — to wise and revered king offers invaluable lessons for us today as children of the Most High. Solomon's story teaches us that wisdom is more precious than any material wealth, and it exalts those who earnestly seek it. I guess when you're on top of the mountain, so to speak, in wealth, you realize, there's nothing to grasp for, and I think that's why we have Ecclesiastes. As we explore key aspects of Solomon's life, his upbringing, his ascension to the throne, and the building of the temple, we discover lessons that are timeless and relevant to every generation. Please join me in asking this question, this specific purpose question: how can we build our lives as our Father's spiritual temple, embodying wisdom, humility, and dedication in every aspect of our journey? Again, how can we build our lives as our Father's spiritual temple, embodying wisdom, humility, and dedication in every aspect of our journey? Let's answer this question in the remaining minutes of this message. The title of today's message is Building Lives as Our Father's Spiritual Temple. Building Lives as Our Father's Spiritual Temple. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. King Solomon's early years were profoundly shaped by the guidance and teachings of his parents, David and Bathsheba. This foundational influence was crucial in preparing Solomon for his future role as king and his relationship with God. David a man after God's own heart, instilled in Solomon the importance of following God's commandments and seeking his wisdom. He taught Solomon the value of integrity, justice, and righteousness. 1 Kings 2, verse 1. 1 Kings 2, verse 1 through 4. 1 Kings 2, verse 1. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. He put it in perspective. He wasn't special. He was like every other man in that sense, in a physical sense. And he accepted that. He didn't wrangle with God. And he gives this instruction to Solomon. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack. There shall not be cut off for you a man on the throne of Israel. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. David's final instructions to Solomon were a reminder of the covenant relationship between God and his people. In a similar fashion, Moses did that in Deuteronomy to the Israelites, to that next generation, to task them what they had to pay attention to restate what was given. And here, he does the same to his son. He emphasized the importance of obedience to God's law as the foundation for a prosperous and righteous reign. This guidance was not just about political success. It's very important, obviously, you know, in that role. But about living a life that honored God. Bathsheba, on the other hand, played a crucial role in securing Solomon's rightful place as king. She was a source of wisdom and influence, teaching Solomon the importance of justice and mercy. Now, David probably taught him slightly different things. You know, go out, get him. You know, but here, you know, she taught him the importance of justice and mercy. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, verse 8. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute are signs of passing away. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Bathsheba's teaching reflected in Proverbs 31 emphasized the importance of using power and authority to protect and uplift the marginalized. What a new concept, huh? If you look at the political spectrum today. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. She instilled in Solomon a sense of justice and compassion, essential qualities for a righteous king. David's role in Solomon's life underscores the importance of parental guidance and the transmission of faith and values from one generation to the next. As parents and guardians, we have the responsibility to instill godly principles in our children and to prepare them for their future roles and challenges, not just to pass on our own weaknesses and amplify them in their lives, hopefully. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This proverb, traditionally attributed to Solomon himself, sums up the importance of early spiritual training. David's instruction to Solomon is a practical demonstration of this principle, reminding us of the lasting impact of godly training and importance of imparting wisdom and knowledge to the next generation. Parents and mentors play a vital role in guiding young people. Now, we cannot just leave it up to the school system or universities. Parents and mentors are very important in this process. By teaching them our Father's principles and leading by example, we help them build a strong foundation for their lives. Our youth and young ones, you are encouraged to listen and learn from your parents and mentors, understanding that their guidance is rooted in love and experience. And hopefully not just looking back, amplifying the good old days, as we have heard in the sermonette, to equip them to move forward. 1 Kings chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there with me, 1 Kings chapter 1. Solomon's formative years were also shaped by the political and family dynamics of his day, to say the least. You know, if you look at David's own family, it was no bed of roses, wasn't it? Succession to the throne was not without its challenges, and Solomon had to navigate these complexities with wisdom and reliance on God's guidance. 1 Kings 1, verse 28 through 30. 1 Kings 1, verse 28. Then the king David answered, "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king, and the king swore, saying, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Solomon, your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. Even so I will do this day." Can you about imagine how he became a target of all the other brothers and everybody else who wanted to position themselves? No, it was game time at that time. David's declaration and Solomon's subsequent anointing emphasize the divine appointment and legitimacy of Solomon's kingship. This moment of transition underscores the importance of recognizing and following our Father's will in leadership and governance. This passage also illustrates the challenges and responsibilities that come with a godly calling or a divine calling, and emphasizes the need for faith and trust in his plan. We all face challenges and transitions in our lives. Youth and young adults in particular may be dealing with changes such as moving to a new school or graduating from school or from the UFM, making new friends, or taking on new responsibilities. Solomon's story teaches us to seek our Father's guidance and trust in his plans during these times. Trust that our Father has a purpose for you and that he will lead you through every challenge. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon's accession to the throne was marked by divine favor and God-given wisdom. His early reign is marked by significant decisions and actions that set the tone for his leadership and the fulfillment of his father's legacy. 1 Kings 3, verse 5 through 9. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" Solomon's request for wisdom reflects his humility and recognition of his dependence on God. This moment of divine encounter is crucial because it sets the course of Solomon's reign and underscores the importance of seeking our Father's guidance in our lives. Solomon's humility and self-awareness in acknowledging his limitations serve as a powerful example for us, reminding us to rely on our Father's wisdom rather than our own understanding. In moments of uncertainty, whether it's making decisions about school, friendship, or future careers, seeking our Father's wisdom is crucial. Again, young and young adults. Or maybe I should say all those of us young at heart. Pray for guidance and wisdom, knowing that our Father hears your prayers and will provide the understanding you need to navigate the complexities of life. Especially the life in the midst of social media. 1 Kings chapter 4. God's response to Solomon's request underscores the value he places on wisdom and discernment. Solomon's wisdom became legendary, attracting visitors from far and wide and establishing Israel as a center of knowledge and justice. It's incredible how he controlled then the trade routes. You know, people didn't just come. He controlled everything. You know, just his annual income at 50,000 pounds of gold, besides silver and all the other assets and all the other, you know, amounts to about $1.5 billion a year. That's just from gold alone. 1 Kings 4, verse 29 through 34. 1 Kings 4, but again, as we will see, that's nothing apart from God. That's the big lesson from Solomon's life. 1 Kings 4, verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and a breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman, Calcol, and Darda. Never met them. The sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005, very precise number. He spoke of trees from the cedar that is Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Now, in modern days, not to draw an analogy here, Benjamin Franklin comes to mind a little bit, you know, when we hear attributes like that or others. Solomon's wisdom was a divine gift, and not only benefited his reign. No, he didn't just enrich himself. That wasn't the purpose. But also contributed to the broader knowledge and culture of his time. This passage emphasizes the far-reaching effects of God-given wisdom and the importance of seeking our Father's guidance in all aspects of life. No blind spots there, you know, in all aspects of life. It also serves as a reminder that true wisdom comes from Him and is meant to be shared for the benefit of others. And that's why what David saw, obviously, in Solomon. He wasn't just self-serving, or at least he started out that way, you know. To be really that humble individual, as we have seen. And of course, his mother, Bathsheba, instilled that. No, it's for the benefit of others. Knowledge and wisdom are gifts from our Father to be used for the betterment of ourselves and others. Youth and young adults, use your talents and knowledge to help those around you. Be curious, learn, and share what you learn to make a positive impact in your communities. 1 Kings chapter 3. One of Solomon's first acts as king was to establish justice and order in his kingdom. Very important to solidify his power and to make everything work. His wise judgment in the case of the two women fighting over a child became a testament to this discerning, or to his discerning heart. And we're all familiar with that story in 1 Kings 3, verse 16 through 28. But let's revisit that. 1 Kings 3, verse 16, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept and laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born." But the other woman said, "No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours." The first said, "No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine." Thus they spoke before the king. You know, he had both sides of his speak, not just hear it from one side. That's also wise. It's very foolish just to listen to one side of the story, not the other one. Or three, four sides, whatever sides there is. Verse 23, then the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son that is alive, and your son is dead.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give the living child to the first woman and by no means put him to death. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice." He was thorough and very efficient in that, wasn't he? The story illustrates Solomon's extraordinary wisdom and ability to discern the truth. His judgment not only resolved the dispute, but also established his reputation as a wise and just ruler. For us, it underscores the importance of seeking divine wisdom in making just and fair decisions. This passage also highlights the role of compassion and understanding in leadership, as Solomon's judgment was guided by a deep insight into human nature and the complexity of human relationships. You know, all this experience from his own father made a few mistakes. Justice and fairness are essential in dealing with others. Youth and young adults, strive to be fair and just in your dealings and to treat others with kindness and understanding. Seek to be peacemakers and advocates for what is right, following Solomon's example of wise and compassionate leadership. 1 Kings chapter 6. One of Solomon's most significant achievements was the building of the temple in Jerusalem. This monumental task was not only the fulfillment of his father David's vision, but also a divine mandate that signified God's dwelling among his people. Now, his father took it as far as he could. He was told not to build the temple. What did David do? He led fundraisers, contributed 7.9 billion of his own money at today's standards. But the rest of Israel, in total, it was 256 billion. Can you imagine? And that's just gold alone. Then there's other silver and you name it. 1 Kings 6:1, in the 480th year after the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in a month of Siv, and we are right now in the 10th day in that month of Siv, in the sacred calendar, which is the second month, he began to build the house of the Lord. This verse highlighting the timing of the temple's construction connects the events to Israel's deliverance from Egypt. You see how everything is kind of tied together. Everything is according to a plan. It's not random. It was not 479 years, 481 years. No, everything was. And in order to get his bearings straight and to put all the pieces in place, even though his father prepared to the largest extent what he could, it was finally in year four of his reign, he was told to proceed. The building of the temple in the second month of the sacred calendar signifies a new beginning and the establishment of a place where God would dwell with his people. It was a game changer. The temple was a symbol of God's presence, holiness, and the centrality of worship in the life of Israel. It served as a place for sacrifices, prayer, and festivals. There was no guessing where the feast site is going to be. Reinforcing the covenant relationship between God and his people. The construction of the temple was a monumental task that required immense resources, skilled labor, and meticulous planning. David made arrangements with a king, a neighboring king, to help his son, to bring craftsmen, what Israel was lacking. Solomon's dedication to this project demonstrated his commitment to honoring God and establishing a center for worship and spiritual life in Israel. 1 Kings 6:11-13. 1 Kings 6:11. The word of the Lord came to Solomon concerning this house that you are building. If you will walk in my statutes and obey my rules and keep all my commandments, not just kind of cherry pick what you like, all my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. Can you also imagine what kind of impact that had on surrounding nations? God's promise to dwell among his people if they remained obedient, and we better listen up about that, about the church, about the spiritual temple. There's parallels. God's promise to dwell among his people if they remained obedient underscores the importance of the temple as a place of divine presence and covenantal faithfulness. The temple was more than just a physical structure. It was a manifestation of God's promise and his desire to be in close relationship with his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The building of the temple reminds us that our lives are also the temple of our Father's Spirit. Not temples. We are not individual temples. One spiritual temple. We are called to honor our Father with our bodies and our lives, creating a dwelling place for his presence. This analogy emphasizes the importance of spiritual dedication and holiness in our daily lives. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now, before we start destroying ourselves in whatever we do or destroy another child of God, we better think twice about that. This passage highlights the continuity of the temple theme, showing that as children of the Most High, we are now the temple in which our Father's Spirit dwells. And in a few weeks, we heard it in the announcement, we'll celebrate Pentecost, the giving of God's Spirit. So important to becoming that temple. The detailed process of building the temple that's described in, if you want to read about that on your own terms, or your own time, I should say, is noted in 1 Kings 6 and 7, chapter 6 and 7, reflects the importance of excellence, dedication, and reverence in our work for God. 1 Kings chapter 6. Every aspect of the temple's construction was meticulously planned and executed, symbolizing the care and dedication required in the service of God. And we might recall that all the pieces were prepared off-site and then just assembled on-site. It's like then one big assembly planned, in essence, so that there was no noise heard. It's not like, okay, we didn't really measure correctly, it didn't really fit, let's bang it around a little bit. No, it was highly precise. It fitted. If it didn't fit, sent back to be refitted off-site. 1 Kings 6, the house that King Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits. What's a cubit? That's pretty much from the elbow to the tip of the hand. That's a cubit. About 18 inches or 45 centimeters. The house that King Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits, 90 feet long, 20 cubits or 30 feet wide, and 30 cubits, 45 feet high. The vestibule in front of the nave of the house was 20 cubits, 30 feet long, equal to the width of the house, and 10 cubits, 15 feet deep in front of the house. And he made for the house windows with recessed frames, lattice windows. And that's what it means. And again, a cubit was about 18 inches or 45 centimeters, I think in centimeters. The detailed measurements and descriptions of the people's construction underscores the importance of precision and excellence in our Father's work. Solomon's dedication to building the temple according to God's instructions, because the plans were clearly given to David and David passed them on, serves as a model for us in our spiritual and practical endeavors. In everything we do, whether it's our studies, work, or service, we should strive for excellence and dedication. A 4.0 GPA is barely good enough. Youth and young adults, remember that your efforts and dedication are seen and appreciated by our Father. He's watching very closely, not just us baptized, also called old-timers. Approach your tasks with a heart of service and dedication, knowing that you are building something meaningful in the kingdom of God. It's not something that passes away. The physical things pass away, but when we do something, simple journal entry, so to speak, or whatever we do, ultimately, if we do it because of the right reasons, we do it building the kingdom of God. 1 Kings chapter 8. The dedication of the temple was a momentous occasion marked by Solomon's heartfelt prayer, reflecting his deep desire for God's presence and blessing upon the nation of Israel. 1 Kings 8, verse 22 through 24. 1 Kings 8, verse 22. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. Solomon's prayer emphasizes the uniqueness and faithfulness of God and acknowledges his covenant and steadfast love. This message is a powerful reminder of the importance of seeking our Father's presence and guidance in all aspects of life. It's not like, oh, over here we can wing it myself. Maybe I need God a little bit over here. No, where will we fail? It's where we wing it. God's response to Solomon's dedication prayer further underscores the importance of the temple as a place of divine presence and blessing. 1 Kings 8, dropping down to verse 54 through 56. 1 Kings 8, verse 54. As Solomon finished offering all this prayer and plea to the Lord, he arose from it before the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with hands outstretched toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promises, or his good promise, which he spoke by Moses, his servant. Our Father doesn't go halfway. He expects the same of us. Romans chapter 12. God's faithfulness to his promises is emphasized in this passage, reaffirming the covenant relationship between him and his people. The dedication of the temple serves as a reminder of God's unchanging nature and his desire to dwell among his people. He always had that desire, ever since the garden, even before he made mankind. That's why he made mankind, because he had that desire. It teaches us the importance of dedicating our lives to our Father and seeking his presence in all that we do. And that's why we are here today. This passage reminds us to approach him with reverence, gratitude, and a heart open to his guidance. Romans 12, verse 1, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, your rational service. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This passage calls us to live lives of dedication and transformation, offering ourselves as living sacrifices in service to our Father, not just when it's convenient to us. It challenges us to seek His will and to conform our lives to His purposes. As we have explored King Solomon's early years and the profound influence of his parents, we have seen how their guidance laid the foundation for his wisdom, justice, and dedication to God. Solomon's story reminds us of the critical role of parental and spiritual mentorship, because each one of us have a role in this. You say, maybe I don't have a child, I don't have a son. No, it's that mentorship that is equally important. In shaping future leaders and children of the Most High. Let's now look at 7 lessons briefly we can learn from Solomon's life and reign. And we have covered some of them, but let's restate them, make them a little bit more personable to us. These principles are not only timeless, but also relevant to us and our loved ones as we navigate our own journeys of faith. 7 lessons for us and our loved ones. 1, lesson 1, or takeaway 1, let's seek wisdom above all else. Let's seek wisdom above all else. That's why it's like we started with that scripture. If any one of you lacks wisdom, yeah, who doesn't? You know, then pray for such. 1 Kings 3, verse 9, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people, as we have already seen. Solomon's request for wisdom rather than wealth or power is a profound lesson for us. He didn't ask for this $1.5 billion in gold income, 666 talents a year, 50,000 pounds. No, he asked, that was a byproduct. In a world where success is often measured by material possessions and status, there's this silly saying, the one with most toys wins. Where are they all? Again, in a world where success is often measured by material possessions and status, Solomon's choice highlights the paramount importance of wisdom. Seeking wisdom allows us to make sound decisions, discern right from wrong, and lead lives that honor our Father. This wisdom is not just intellectual knowledge, but a deep understanding that comes from our Father and is rooted in His Word. But of course, we need to have that knowledge. That's why we go to school. That's why we also a reason we come to Sabbath services. So what can we do about it? Daily prayer for wisdom. Let's make it a daily habit to pray earnestly for wisdom, trusting in our Father who gives generously, will provide us with the understanding we need. Oftentimes you say, I don't understand, especially if you don't like something. No, maybe you should pray for wisdom, then we'll understand. Study the scriptures. Where do we go? Let's immerse ourselves in the scriptures where we can find profound insights and divine guidance for our lives. As we have great Bible study help on UCG.org. Seek godly counsel. Let's seek the counsel of wise and godly mentors who can provide guidance and perspective based on their experience and knowledge of our Father's Word. And apply wisdom in decisions. Let wisdom guide every decision we make, whether in personal matters, relationships, or career choices, ensuring that our actions honor our Father and reflect His will. The second lesson or takeaway is, let's embrace humility. Let's embrace humility. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, if you just want to jot that down. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Solomon's humility in recognizing his limitations and his need for divine guidance laid the foundation for his reign. True humility is acknowledging that we do not have all the answers and that we need our Father's guidance. It involves surrendering our pride and ego, trusting wholly in our Father's wisdom and plan for our lives. This humility not only brings us closer to him, but also opens us up to receive his blessings and guidance. So what can we do about it? Trust in our Father. Trust in our Father. Let's acknowledge our need for our Father's guidance and wisdom, just as Solomon did, trusting him with all our heart. Prayer and reflection. Let's approach life's challenges with a humble heart, seeking his direction through prayer and reflection, and being open to his leading. Not a failed human approach that is just amplified generation over generation, as we've heard in the sermonette. Depend on our Father. Let's trust him wholeheartedly, even when our own understanding falls short, believing that he will make our path straight. Do we believe him? Do we trust in him? And admit when we need help. Let's cultivate the spirit of humility by admitting when we need help and being open to the guidance and support of others, knowing that our Father often works through people around us. The third takeaway is let's dedicate our lives to our Father. Let's dedicate our lives to our Father. And you see how they all go hand in glove. Let's revisit Romans 12, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, your rational service. Solomon's dedication of the temple symbolizes our own need to dedicate our lives to our deeply caring and loving Father. Our lives, talents, and resources, maybe a little short of David's resources or physical resources or Solomon, are not our own. They are gifts from our Father to be used for his glory. That's why there's always enough for the true needs of God's people. Living sacrifice means that every aspect of our lives is an act of worship, a testament to his goodness and love. What can we do about it? Live as an act of worship. Let's live our lives as an ongoing act of worship, dedicating wholly to our loving Father, recognizing that everything we have comes from him. Use talents for his glory. Let's use our talents, time, and resources to honor him, considering how we can serve him and others with what we have been given. Make conscious choices, not just kind of fall into them. Make conscious choices. Let's make conscious choices that reflect his love and holiness, being mindful of how we represent him in the world. Offer our lives as a living sacrifice. Let's offer our lives as a living sacrifice, continually seeking to be holy and pleasing to him in all that we do, ensuring that our actions and decisions are aligned with his will, that we calibrate ourselves, and fasting is an effective tool to that. The fourth lesson or takeaway is, let's build a strong spiritual community. Let's build a strong spiritual community. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 15 through 16, or you can just jot it down, Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, make the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We always, people say, no, why is there no growth, this or that? Maybe we looked in the wrong place for growth. But when each part is working properly, it gives us a solution right there. It has to fit properly. Makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The collaborative effort of building the temple, even getting those craftsmen from a foreign king, underscores the importance of unity and fellowship. As children of the Most High, we are called to be part of a spiritual community, the body of Christ, where each of us has a role to play. There's no spectators in this. Unity and fellowship are essential for our spiritual growth and the strength of our community. And it's not limited to this small group here. By working together, we can achieve more and support each other in our faith journey. What can we do about it? Active participation. Let's be active participants in our local congregations and the larger Church of God community, contributing to its growth and health through our involvement and support. We all can do more. Offer our gifts. Let's offer our unique gifts and talents to build and support the church, recognizing that we each play a vital role in the body of Christ. There's nothing like, let's see if there's any use or any need for my skills. No, we all have a role to play. Speak the truth in love. Let's speak the truth in love, supporting and encouraging one another, fostering an environment of unity and fellowship. Because wherever there is not unity or fellowship, there is disbursement or fraction, that's not truth in love. It becomes a slogan. Work together. Let's work together to build a community that reflects the love, grace, and unity of our Father, making his love known to the world through our collective efforts and actions. We can do that in little things. The fifth takeaway or lesson is, let's uphold justice and fairness. Let's uphold justice and fairness. Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, steadfast love, and to walk humbly with your God. Solomon's wise judgment in the case of the two women demonstrates the importance of justice and fairness. And he learned those attributes, as we have seen, from his mother, most likely. As children of the Most High, we are called to reflect his character in our actions, which includes upholding justice and fairness in whatever. It doesn't mean we have to join the Supreme Court here, obviously. It's in our way what we can do. This means standing up for what is right, treating others with kindness and integrity, and advocating for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's a specific charge, and for good reason, that Bathsheba gave to her son. Because that's not natural, especially us men. What can we do about it? Seek justice. Let's seek to uphold justice and fairness in all our dealings, ensuring that our actions reflect the justice and love of our Father. I'm not saying we're standing out there with banners. Stand up for what is right in our individual lives. Let's stand up for what is right and fair in our daily lives, even when it is difficult or unpopular, trusting that our Father will support us in our efforts. Again, if we take a wise approach and have the right tone. treating others with kindness. Let's treat others with kindness and integrity, ensuring that our actions reflect the justice and love of our Father, and advocate for others. Let's speak up for those who may not have a voice. Advocating for justice and fairness in our communities, you know, in this case, spiritual communities, it could be also in our physical communities, and being a light in the darkness. Not to come across as some kind of a misguided martyr, that's not what I'm saying here. The sixth takeaway, I should say, of the seven, let's leave a lasting legacy. Let's leave a lasting legacy. Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. David's preparation of the temple and Solomon's completion, the building and completion of it, highlights the importance of legacy. Our actions and faith today can inspire and guide future generations. Living with intention and purpose ensures that our faith and actions leave a positive impact, not just on those around us, but on those who come after us. The question is, how quickly will we be forgotten? Will our families be forgotten, or as an individual? What can we do about it? Live with intention. Live with intention. Let's live with intention, knowing that our faith and actions today can inspire and guide future generations, and that our legacy can have a lasting impact. What will they see us when we're gone? The one who is always stirring the pot, or the one who truly built a legacy? Share stories of faithfulness. Let's share stories of our Father's faithfulness, teaching younger generation about his mighty works and loving nature, ensuring that his deeds are remembered and celebrated. Be examples of faith. Let's be examples of faith and righteousness, demonstrating what it means to live a life devoted to our Father and inspiring others to do the same. Inspiring others to do the same, not ordering them to do the same. Make lasting choices. Let's make choices that will leave a positive and lasting impact, ensuring that our legacy honors our Father and his kingdom, and that future generations are blessed by our actions. And finally, the seventh takeaway, let's be the temple of the living God. Let's be the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, let's revisit that. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. That's a certainty. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Recognizing the holiness of our bodies as part of the one and only spiritual temple of the living God is a profound truth. Collectively, we form the temple of our Father, and his Spirit dwells in among us. We better keep that in mind as we prepare ourselves for the coming festival of Pentecost. We are called to honor him with our lives, making choices that reflect his holiness, taking care of our spiritual, mental, and spiritual health, and living in a way that embodies his love, grace, and holiness. So what can we do about it? Recognize our holiness, not because of who we are, but who God made us. We are his very children. Recognize our holiness. Let's recognize the holiness of our bodies as the dwelling place of our Father's Spirit, treating ourselves and each other with the respect and care they deserve. Honor our Father with our lives. Let's honor our Father with our lives, making choices that reflect his holiness and love, and ensuring that our actions are pleasing to him. Take care of ourselves and each other. Let's take care of our physical, mental, and spiritual health, ensuring that we are living in a way that honors our Father and His creation, and supporting each other in this journey. And finally, live out His love together. Let's live out His love, grace, and holiness in our daily lives, being a light to those around us and reflecting His character to the world as one spiritual temple. Let's close in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The life of Solomon offers profound lessons for us children of our deeply caring and loving Father. His upbringing, ascension and to the throne, and dedication to building the temple reflect principles of wisdom, humility, dedication, reverence, community, and legacy. As the temple of the living God, we are called to embody these principles in our own lives, creating a dwelling place for our Father's presence and reflecting His glory to the world. Like Solomon, may we seek our Father's wisdom, honor Him with our lives, and build a legacy that points others to His greatness. Through these principles or scriptural insights and reflections, we are reminded of our identity and purpose as our Father's people, called to live in a way that honors and glorifies Him in every aspect of our lives. To all the young and young at heart, let us embrace these lessons and strive to live as dedicated, wise, and faithful servants of our Father. Let's move forward together as we heard in the sermonette. Let's take these lessons to heart and be moved to action to build lives that reflect the glory and love of our deeply caring and loving Father. Let's intentionally seek wisdom, embrace humility, dedicate our lives to Him, build strong spiritual communities, uphold justice, leaving a lasting legacy, and honor our bodies as the temple of the living God. Let's close with 1 Peter 2:9, which summarizes the message of building our lives as part of our Father's spiritual temple and dedicating ourselves to His glory. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen race, and we already heard in the sermonette, Mr. Wagner stopped in verse 5, and let's drop down to verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called out you out of darkness into His marvelous light.